In today's gospel reading, those who've been spending time with Jesus, his closest companions, ask Jesus to teach them to pray. In response, Jesus gives them a prayer and teaching about prayer, but it is so much more than instruction simply about how to pray. Jesus teaches them about the nature of their relationship with God. Prayer is at the heart of what it means to be human, what it means to be a child of God. Since we met last here in community to celebrate God's love for us in this space, many children have been born into the world, born to various circumstances here on earth, some good and some not good. One birth, in particular, got a lot of attention. You know of what I speak. Little Prince George was born, heir to the throne of England. Did you see the crowds? Were you watching the TV throughout these weeks and days? Gathered outside the hospital, waiting for the Duchess of Cambridge to arrive. Then waiting for the birth, then waiting for the royal parents to depart with the baby held securely in loving arms. As I watched the news coverage anticipating and then proclaiming the royal birth, I thought about all the other births happening all over the world. And this image came to my mind. I was imagining angels and saints, all of them showing up for every birth, cheering and clapping, expressing joy and love for God's new creation, a new human life. The birth of a child makes God's creation new. The world's never the same again. What if every time a child was born, thousands of people showed up to cheer and clap? Or even 100 people showed up, or even 10? Even if the child was unplanned by the parents or born into poverty, wouldn't that help everyone know how important it is to care for every child, for this one-of-a-kind gift to the world from the creator of the universe? I think it would make a huge difference. I feel like getting a group together. How does all this relate to prayer? I'll get back to that in a moment. But first, I actually have a prayer suggestion for you for this week. Imagine the day you were born. Imagine all the saints and the angels waiting there for your birth. Or imagine that 5,000 people showed up outside the hospital or another location where you were born. Imagine that. And then everyone there and the saints and all the angels start cheering and giving thanks because another human, you, made in the image of God, has come into the world. God's gift to the world exactly as you are. You are that important. You are that important. Everyone is, but certainly you are. You are the only person in all of creation like you. The only one. Which means that you are the only one God can relate to in the way God can and wants to relate to you. It's special for God to relate to you. And this gets me back to prayer as relationship with God. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer for a second as we get into that. Jesus teaches his disciples, his friends, those who want to follow him, the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer of trust in God who loves us. This is a prayer that unites us with God in mission. This is a prayer that every time we pray it, we sense that we're together. We say our, right? Our Father. So we're being united with each other as well. Our lives as the beloved of God, and I like to talk about how personal it is, our relationship with God, but it's not private. But it's our true identity to be part of this community of God's beloved, special to God, called into community for service to all people in the world, to get those little groups together to show up at every birth, right? This prayer calls us to be people of forgiveness and reconciliation, even as we pray in that personal way for forgiveness as well. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that encourages us to ask for what we need. What do we need most? Yes, we need our daily bread. We need the necessities of life. But we need to know God to be our divine parent. We need to know that God's will be done, and to pray for that and to be united with that. We want to be a part of God's life here on earth forever and forever into eternity. Thomas Merton said, "Prayer belongs less to time than to eternity." When we pray, we connect with God in a way that connects us with what is eternal. That part of us that is eternal and what is most real. And eternity, and when we pray for God's kingdom to come and we pray about heaven, while we're here, we experience that on earth through Christ. We experience these first fruits of heaven now. If your prayer feels dry, right? I think we all experience that from time to time, if not for years at a time. You know, some of the most famous saints felt they weren't connecting with God for years at a time. If it's feeling dry, if you're not even sure where to begin to pray when you're outside of a worship service, it may be that you're trying to pray in a way that's not authentic for you. It has been said, pray as you can, not as you can't. I love that. One could also say, pray as you are, not as you aren't. Sometimes people think they need to be a certain way with God, maybe polite, or present themselves as they think God wants them to be. But remember what I was saying, what I said about you being the only one in all of creation with whom God can relate the way God relates to you? God wants to relate to you, to me, to the real you, here and now, not the person you wish you could be, always together, always forgiving, or whatever it is we think God wants us to be on any given day. Is there an area in your life that you never seem to get around to praying about? I've certainly had those. It's kind of amazing when you realize, wow, I haven't prayed about this whole huge area of my life. That happens. So if the prayer is dry, I know for a fact it's not because God is absent. It's not because God isn't showing up. God is there with us, God with us always. But perhaps it's the person who's not showing up, the real you or the real me, not there. If you're looking for a new way to pray, to get in touch with the real you on any given day, because that can be hard, right? Life moves so fast. Where am I? What's going on? There's a wonderful book entitled Sleeping with Bread, Holding What Gives You Life. It looks like a children's book because the illustrations are so colorful and beautiful, but it's got very mature ideas about prayer and God. It's written by the Lynns. They've written many books like this in the sense of they look like kids' books, but they're not. The Lynns, Sheila, Matthew, and David. The title of this book, Sleeping with Bread, comes from stories of children during World War II who had to be resettled in camps after being orphaned. These children had trouble sleeping at night and feared waking up homeless again without food. So they were given bread to take to bed. The authors say, holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow. How do we pray in a way that helps us to hold on to that which gives us life in Christ, helps us to know the freedom we have in Christ. At the end of the day, the authors suggest, and this is what they've done for years as a spiritual practice, to ask yourselves two questions. One question, for what moment today am I most grateful? And the second question, for what moment today am I least grateful? Life moves so fast, it's easy for days to go by without taking time for reflection on the events of the day. This practice can help us to pray, once we get that in our minds, what's been going on, pray about it, and also a way to discern, to make decisions, to think about how the Spirit's been moving in our lives throughout the day. What is good for me? Who are the people who really have loved me in this day? Who are the people who have not? How can I be more loving? When did I experience God? It all leads into that. And the authors get into this in more detail. They also suggest a couple questions. When did I feel most alive? Most alive today? When did I feel the life draining out of me? Interestingly, I said this was not a children's book, but it can be used with children. They've done this and seen friends with kids do it, where at the end of the day or when kids get home from school, to talk with them about what made you happiest today, what made you saddest, and to help kids start to get in touch with their feelings and to trust their feelings. This is one way to start a conversation with people and with God, a way to hold on to what gives us life. Now, after Jesus teaches his followers the Lord's Prayer, he does more teaching about prayer and about being in relationship with God and what we read today. And we get into some difficult issues about prayer and God. Jesus encourages us to think of God as even more caring than the most devoted friend or caring parent, one who would never ignore us, but rather come to our aid. And we hear those famous words, "Ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you." But what if it seems that what we ask for is not given? What if the door does not seem to be open? What if we can't find what we seek? Going back to the Lord's Prayer, it reminds me there's this focus on what's eternal, a focus on knowing God, and that we are ultimately knocking on heaven's door, again, in the sense of experiencing heaven now, that peace, that God peace here and now through Christ that lives on forever. We have it now, we'll have it with God forever. Isn't that the door we most want? To have that connection of what's real and eternal? You may remember that movie Shadowlands. It was about C.S. Lewis. When Lewis is told by a priest that his prayers were the reason for his wife's improving health, Lewis gets angry. Remember that? It's a great scene. He gets so angry and he says, "Prayer doesn't change God, it changes me." Right? God is always loving and seeking our healing and our health and our well-being. Always. It's a mystery that it seems some prayers are answered and some are not. It's a mystery how it works, but God is always at work, the Spirit at work. But what Jesus also taught about prayer and about God in his life, in his divine life, and his words and actions, teaches us that our life with God is about this relationship. Right? It's not about one thing or two things happening in our life that seem connected to God. It's this ongoing relationship that will never end. And prayer is God's language of love, the language we were born with before we could speak any of the languages of this world. So be persistent in prayer, we hear. And always remember, especially on those days when it's difficult to pray, that those words from Romans, they're such a comfort to me, that the Holy Spirit is praying in us. We hear, "Likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." Amen.